Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello and welcome to Contemplations. This is part two of The Cults, and today we're going to be talking about Osho. And I am joined once again by Stelios.
Hello.
And Bodade. I don't have any funny names for you. I've run out, although I did want to come up with one. But who is Osho? Well, he goes by many different names. He can be known as Acharya Rajneesh, or Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, or Rajneesh Chanda Mohan Jain, which is what he was actually born as, or later in life, Osho, which is the easiest one to say, and so I'm going to be saying that throughout the whole thing, and that's also what his followers today know him as well. But before I get into anything, let's actually just hear from the guy. And I've picked out some of my favorite clips because the guy does have a sense of humor. You can, whatever you say about him, he can crack a good joke. So let's see what his demeanor is like, I suppose.
Because democracy basically means government by the people, of the people, for the people. But the people are retarded. So let us say, government by the retarded, for the retarded, of the retarded.
So, obviously, that is just objectively correct. But no, one thing I thought was quite funny here is he obviously doesn't need to pause that long to say what he's saying. There's something being put on here, right?
His whole demeanour is performative.
It does seem like that way.
But then nearly everyone's is at nearly all times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just obviously, well, to me, you've picked up on it, and also to me, for him, mm-hmm. it's just massively dialed up.
Yeah.
I think with nearly any sort of guru type person or any sort of cult leader, that's going to be part of it.
They're kind of living up to their expectations to a certain extent, I think. People expect him to act in a certain way, and I think he may well have just been reacting to their expectations.
There's a thing where Dr. Jacob Bronowski used to do it. He did the documentary series in the 70s, The Ascent of Man, where quite often he'd pause before saying something. In a few interviews, you can find him where he's asked a fairly deep question, like the meaning of science or something, and he'll pause for a moment and sort of formulate his answer and then come up with an answer. That to me seemed a really authentic thing.
Mm.
Whereas that's not really authentic. He knows what he's going to say and he's pausing purely for effect.
Yeah, the structure of what he's saying there, you've got to have in mind what you're going to say before you say it. Because
it's a line, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something that's got the fingerprints of being pre-planned all over it, in my view.
It's quite funny, and there's almost really, like you say, comedy timing involved in it as well.
Yeah. Right? What do you think, Stelios?
I'm going to be a bit more harsh, and I'm going to say he is very performative. All of this seems to me to be an act. And I wouldn't say that everyone is performative in that sense, because, you know, the term would lose its meaning. If everyone is, then it doesn't make sense. It doesn't characterize things. Or you could talk about degrees of performativeness, but I would say that this is very performative action. And he's taking unnaturally long pauses. Usually people who make pauses when they speak, and they speak a bit more slowly, they are seen as somehow more magnetic, because it shows a kind of confidence, a kind of imperviousness to the, let's say, pressure that people feel when they are speaking publicly. That's why when people speak very, very fast, it shows a kind of, let's say, how should we put it? Sometimes it shows a kind of diffidence. It shows as if, you know, I just want to get it out and I want attention out of me. So he seems to me that he's very clever, but he is a lot. There's a lot of performativity into it, and as we'll go along, I'm going to be a very harsh critic of him.
Okay,
I would say one thing, that his actual point he's making, regardless of sort of his tone and intonation and his pauses and the whole performative, the degree to which he's performative, the actual point he's making, I don't agree with at all. I kind of hate that thing when people say the vast majority of people are stupid or retarded. No, they're really not, actually. Yeah. There's a big chunk of people. If you're talking about a body of millions of people,
yeah,
there's going to be a big chunk of them that are very stupid and uninformed.
Yes.
But most of them aren't. Most normal people are not idiots.
I agree with you entirely.
I kind of hate that view.
I agree with you entirely. And I think that the kind of structure he had in his ashram, that's how they would call it, and then Rajneeshpuram that they built in Oregon, manifests precisely that. He just thought he was so blindingly better than everyone, and everyone else was an idiot. Now, perhaps, I don't know, maybe he was warranted to believe that with the people who would give all his money to him. But as I said, I think that he was making them feel special. And that's what all these, you could say, elitist messages are supposed to be like. They are supposed to address an audience. And even if you say basically everyone is retarded, you are somehow giving the impression you're singling out your audience. So he was telling to that audience, who were members of that, let's say, thing, of that organization, that you are basically the elite. You are the special ones.
Yeah, by definition, you're not.
Yeah, and I'm the special of the specials.
Obviously, because we're here now, right?
Yeah.
No, that's a fair point. So there's another clip here as well, and this is him talking to an interviewer roughly about what he's about, because the context is that we're going to talk about this later, but he got a bit of a reputation in India. He got nicknamed the sex guru for saying that the Indian views towards sex should be a bit more free than they were. And this was in sort of the 60s. So, you know, it's kind of pretty run-of-the-mill stuff for the 1960s.
You say that love is liberation. But your enemies and critics maintain that some of the practices that the movement is encouraging seem to be inspired more than Mr. Effner of Playboy than by a spiritual leader. What is your reaction to this?
I'm a spiritual playboy.
That's all of his followers in the background, by the way, laughing at that.
Is there
sick
something
effect.
Wrong? I call myself Zorba the Buddha. And that's my whole life effort, to bring Zorba and Buddha closer. I don't want the dichotomy of the spiritual and the materials. I want the spiritual and the material as one whole. They are. The division creates an schizophrenic state in humanity. And all the religions are criminals in that sense. They have created a split in man. Your body is separate, your soul is separate. You have to fight with the body, you have to remain celibate, you have to fast, you have to torture the body. The more you torture, the more spiritual you are. To me, this is simply garbage. Just nonsense. There is no need to torture the body. Because the body and the soul are not two things. Existence is one. Body is the visible soul, and the soul is the invisible body. But it is one mystery. Don't divide it and don't make a conflict between them. So when I say spiritual playboy, I am not just joking. That's my basic standpoint towards life. What is wrong if Buddha is dancing in a disco? It looks so beautiful. A beautiful girl. And why Buddha be afraid? Is not his meditation strong enough that he will be pulled towards carnal lust? Is he afraid of falling back from his enlightenment? Then he is not enlightened at all. Because there is no way to fall back. Once you attain, you cannot fall back.
There we go.
Sorry, I'm about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
That's how it works. He talks so slowly and he has the shh sort of sound when he speaks. I think that's deliberately
trying to hypnotize the audience.
In a sense, he is, because he's got that sort of cadence and delivery. And the thing is that I don't actually disagree with the content of what he's saying there. He's basically saying that mind-body dualism is incorrect, that body and soul are the same thing.
I felt like he wasn't saying anything.
Really?
I was waiting for him to make a point of any type.
Yeah.
I was like, there's just, okay, there's some pseudo-wisdom. Okay, now say something.
Yeah, well...
Oh, okay, you're not saying anything. All right,
he's put it in terms in which that it wraps it up in sort of spiritual language. But basically, he's saying that he doesn't believe the mind and body are separate, and therefore you shouldn't neglect the body. You should, you know, enjoy the world
if
and worldly pleasures.
If you're saying anything, off the back of the question that was asked, if you're saying anything... He's just in a roundabout way trying to justify having a harem for himself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if anything's being said there, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. He's always been of that sort of mind. I don't think he's necessarily some sort of hypocrite who's ever preached, say, abstinence or things like that. I'm not defending the guy, you know. I'm not a believer.
He was consistent in his lechery. Okay.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's the old Norm MacDonald joke of, at least he's not a hypocrite.
Right, yeah.
But yes, you get a measure of his sort of persona and delivery. And the way he gets asked the question and then kind of looks at his hand and things like that, there are things that he's clearly coached himself to do to a certain extent to make himself appear more wise, these sort of... I don't know what to call them, mannerisms, I suppose, where it makes him seem like he's almost inhuman, but in a way that isn't sort of too obviously engineered, if you will.
Yeah, there's loads of things. There's a whole science to it. Like, I see him, like, doing this and stuff, as if he's holding the world in his hands and all sorts of things. There's a whole science to that. I mean, if you ever watched Tony Blair, he'd, like, do this a lot. Now, let's make the point. Like, there's a whole science to how to deliver things and be convincing and stuff. All sorts of mannerisms and tone and things to seem more convincing. Yeah, and there's all sorts of ways of doing it. You can be sort of very aggressive, or you can try and appear to be sort of super enlightened or something. I think you were right, Stelios, when you said when I said everyone's sort of performative, and you're like, well, let's say to degrees, because otherwise it wouldn't have no meaning. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, I try to never be performative, and yet I sort of also know I am on some level without helping it, without being able to help it, right?
Well, unconsciously, you just do things that you have been programmed to do in many ways.
Right, yeah.
Your social behavior, because it's so integral to human beings, you can't control all of it. Like, I find sometimes, I was talking about this yesterday, actually, just out of the blue, mentioning that if you have empathy for someone, you start mirroring their speech patterns to a certain extent. You don't consciously do it, because if you are consciously copying how someone was speaking, it might seem really condescending and rude. And so you don't really want to do that, particularly if you're, say, adopting a slight tinge of their accent. Well, that's going to sound really disingenuous. It sounds like you're mocking them.
Have you ever used an obscure word and later in the same conversation the other person uses that word?
It happens quite a lot, yeah.
Right, mirroring, yeah. I mean, I like to think if you met me in real life in a pub, I would come across, I'd be pretty much exactly the same as I am in front of camera, more or less. I've, like, deliberately tried to do that. But some people you find in different contexts, they're, like, completely different. And they speak, their speech patterns and things are sort of very different.
I think it also depends on what's expected of you in the situation at hand. When I'm on camera, I take the job quite seriously. I don't want to misspeak and give people wrong information. I don't want to mischaracterize what I believe. And so I carry myself a bit more seriously than I would outside of a studio. Like, if you were to compare that to me at, you know, a gig where I'm seeing a band I really like, you know, it's going to be night and day. I'm going to be fun loving and having a great time, as opposed to being quite stern serious and trying to get to the bottom of things. Like, even in an individual person, there's a sort of wide degree of difference.
For some people, it's really, again, sort of dialed up, isn't it? So for him, I feel like it is really, really, for Osho, it's really performative. Nobody's like that. Like you said, Stelios, the unnecessarily long pauses for gravitas or something. Let's try and give the impression of gravitas anyway. And all the hand movements and things. And so I feel like the very studied sort of raise of an eyebrow sometimes, or all sorts of things, like the widening of eyes to make a point on all sorts of stuff. It doesn't seem natural. There's nothing natural about it. It's not just flowing. It's not just him.
Yeah.
It's like it really is an act.
It's also a sort of wrong-headed impression of what enlightenment looks like as well. Because if someone's enlightened, surely they would be able to speak quite fluently and clearly, like, they would be the best speaker ever.
Yeah, right.
Rather than having to pause and take ages to say something that someone could have said much quicker. It's almost like a human embodiment of the sunk cost fallacy. If he takes ages to say something, well, because I've been sat here waiting for him to say it, it must be at least somewhat worthwhile, because people don't want to feel like they've just been sat there listening to someone who was saying something worthless, because they've already put enough time in listening to him say a single sentence.
But people seem to have very much bought into it, right? Because I've seen a few of his followers say things like, when I was in his presence, or when he spoke, it was like there was a God in the room, or his energy, his presence was divine, and there was something supernatural, superhuman about him. I just knew deep down in my gut, in my soul, that he was not of this world. You know, they took that in terms like that about him. So for some people, the credulous, it obviously works.
And the funny thing is that he explicitly says, like, I'm just a man, you know, I'm just saying what I think and, you know, helping people along their way. but I don't believe in God. I don't believe there are gods, and I don't believe in the spiritual element necessarily. He says, basically, this is just a philosophy. So he explicitly says that to his followers, quite a lot, actually. And so it's surprising that they still react in that way, despite even what he's saying, which says to me that there's some sort of structure of these sorts of followings. I think it's safe to call it a cult, although, you know, you could question it. We will be talking about, in the next episode, Scientology. So I will unreservedly say that's a cult. But, you know, there's it doesn't seem to have the sort of Osho following. There are some aspects that are a bit culty, but not so much. But I think the way in which the actual followers act, they act like they're in a cult. But I don't think he does all that he could be doing to have a very stratified sort of culty structure, whereas the Church of Scientology behind me is like the perfect example, I think.
Let me say one thing about this clip. He's deliberately very vague. Mm-hmm. And this was a way of dodging the question, because there were a lot of questions about his, let's say, movement, and whether it was whether it involved a form of sometimes abuse, emotional and psychological abuse, because they were having Osho centers around the earth. Yeah, and they were going and they were doing really weird stuff. And they had several stages, and one of it was unleash your energy. And they were going like a group, and they were, you know, hitting each other. They were forcefully detaining others. They were doing all sorts of things. And there were questions, and this is where most probably the reporter is getting at, you know, that there have been rumors about, you know, several bad practices in your, let's say, centers, or people in your name are doing these things. Mm. And he's giving an answer that basically this does not address the reporter entirely. Well, he's addressing the audience. He doesn't care about the reporter. He doesn't care about the... He's saying what he thinks his audience is going to like. And it's so vague that, okay, the only content that it has is that he thinks it's okay to be, let's say, in favor of the sexual revolution, because I think he tied his movement he branded his movement as a form of spiritualism that is consistent with materialism and the sexual revolution. And I think there is something that could be sinister. It could escalate. But again, yes, I don't think he was... there are worse people, of course. But one thing is that I think that there is some merit, and I respect people who come in, they say, okay, this is what I think is right. This is what my code of ethics involves. And you will have to make some, within quotation marks, sacrifices. What I dislike in this vague rhetoric is that it's okay. You know, there is a sort of anything goes. Not exactly anything goes, but he sort of tells people that you can be enlightened, you can achieve the highest good without making sacrifices. And I think that's a really weird message, because when morality is hard, it's difficult, it's not easy. He was basically telling them that many people thought it was hard, and it's not hard. It's far easier than you think. So don't make sacrifices. Don't fast. Don't do things.
Well, I disagree with two things you said there. Okay. The first of all is that I don't think the guy asking the question was asking about the violence in those things. He deliberately brought up Hugh Hefner of Playboy. So I think he was talking about the debauchery aspect, particularly in America, which I think this is being filmed in at the time. The Americans had a reputation for him not only being a bit filthy rich, but also that because of how secretive the compound was, there was speculation about them having like orgies and things like that. And I think that there was a lot of free love, but I don't think it was quite to that degree, where it was some weird sex cult where that was what it's all about. Although there does seem to be some sort of element of that. And also I think that what he was getting at with the sacrifice thing that you mentioned, I don't think, I don't necessarily remember whether he uses the word sacrifice, but he's talking about sort of asceticism, isn't he, where, you know, deliberately starving yourself because you believe it leads to enlightenment, or deliberately inflicting suffering on yourself. I forgot what it's called, but where people like whip themselves.
Flogging.
Flagellation.
Self-flagellation. Yes, that's it. Thank you. Those sorts of practices, because he's talking about things in the context of, well, other religions suggest you do all of these horrible things to yourself because it gets you closer to God. I reject that. And I think actually, yes, perhaps listening to your body because it's part of your soul is better for you. And I actually agree with that sentiment.
I think it's all nonsense. How does he know one way or another? How does anyone know one way or another? I don't think he said anything there. The guy accused him of some sort of perhaps just open love, whatever. And he said, yeah, I'm a spiritual playboy. Yeah, I never said I wasn't. Yeah. He hasn't really said anything. And like, where does he get his knowledge from or his wisdom? Like, this is, you're not enlightened if you do this, and you are if you do this. Who are you?
It's what a celebrity would say. The way a celebrity would answer.
I'm very, very cynical, sort of in the Socratic sense. So I don't think anyone's got the answers. I'm very suspicious of anyone like him, even like someone like Tim Robbins or any sort of self-help person, any leader. It's like, what do you know? You don't know any better than anyone else. You were born into this world and you've got no special knowledge because nobody has, particularly. Like, you know what enlightenment is. You know what is correct and what isn't. You know, you've mastered morality and ethics. Have you? Have you? No, you haven't. Because nobody has. Who is this guy?
You're getting at is just the amount of certainty with which he speaks.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
This is the correct thing for your spirit. This is what enlightenment is.
Mm-hmm. Is
it Osho? Oh, thanks. Thanks, bro. Thanks for letting me in on it.
I think the most reasonable way to talk about these sorts of issues is just say, well, I think this, or I think it's likely that it's this. And then that expresses a reasonable amount of doubt. When people start using words that express absolute certainty, even though deep down they probably aren't absolutely certain, like he acknowledges that, yeah, I'm constantly changing my mind, contradictions are good. This is in another clip that I've not included, but if you're not contradicting yourself over time, then you're not developing, and so, you know, a contradiction is actually a good thing because it's a sign that you're progressing as a person. And so you know, these things can change. You can be wrong. And if you... So he also says that, but also his delivery and how he expresses what he's saying more serves a sort of way of convincing people that he knows what he's on about, rather than actually being accurate about using the most precise language possible to express what he believes.
That's another thing you said, where he never claimed to be a god or anything like that, even though I think one of his titles... Bagram or something has got connotations in Hindi or whatever language it is of being a godlike. Anyway, he always said to his flock, you know, don't treat me as godlike, and they did it all the more. That's a classic tactic, you know, like from Augustus claiming to be merely the first citizen. So people are more likely to say, oh no, you're far more than that. There's lots and lots of religious and cult leaders, I think, who said, you know, don't worship me. And it just makes people do it the more. I think of maybe Francis of Assisi or I don't know, Marcus Garvey. Don't even know Marcus Garvey. It's a long story. I'll tell you about it another time. But he was Rastafarians. Worshipped him as... and he was a Christian. He wasn't a Rastafarian. He was a bit... not embarrassed by it, but he was like, he thought it was sort of, yeah, he wasn't a Rastafarian, he was a Christian. Anyway, the point is, he said, I'm not a god, stop it. And it didn't stop them whatsoever, of course. So that's a tactic. So I don't want to be your leader. I really, please don't. But
no,
the psychology of that is fairly straightforward, that people are going to be like, oh, he's the guy then.
I think it is also plausible deniability for the external image of that association.
Mm.
Say, no, I'm not saying I'm divine. I'm telling you I'm not divine.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that same trend throughout history, though, that you were pointing out, that people quite often who are most savvy to how to maintain a prominent position in society, they claim that they're of lower status than they really are. And that makes them seem humble, even though a lot of the time, if you're sort of savvy to why they're doing it, you're just like, hang on a minute, I know what you're up to. You're just trying to kind of conceal your position at the top of a hierarchy rather than actually being humble. If you were humble, you wouldn't have been in that position in the first place, really.
It was a classic thing in sort of the Roman Empire, mid to late Roman Empire, where you wanted to be the emperor, but you couldn't, or you could, but you, instead of choosing just to march on Rome or Ravenna or Constantinople, you would get other people, senators or generals, to proclaim you emperor. And of course, it's all about you. It was you. You're the heart of it all. But instead of just taking it and claiming it, you let others do it for you. And that gives that sort of immediately lends you a lot more legitimacy. Well, so like Osho, he might claim, you know, don't worship me. But the people around him, he would be encouraging them to revere him still, though.
Yeah, well, some of the things that we're going to be getting on to later do seem to suggest that there was a certain amount of encouragement, which I very much disagree with. I think it's kind of creepy, weird, and very narcissistic, to be honest.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if anyone's not, haven't got the idea yet, this guy's a charlatan, in my opinion.
I think charlatan is a strong word, because I think he's making genuine attempts to understand the world and say what he thinks to a certain extent, but the way he delivers it and also his reasons for doing so are less than spiritual, I think. I think he's basically made a lot of money doing this, and I think that he would have taken a different route. I'm going to go through sort of his younger life and talk about his story and how it got to that point of him being on television and all that sort of stuff. And we're going to kind of break down why we think he is the way he is. And my expectation is that you're both going to agree with me that, yeah, he probably did believe stuff. He's got some genuine convictions, but he's capitalizing on it for power and money and fame, really. It, you know, lots of other people do the same thing, but it's somewhat of a mask, I think. Sorry, Stelios, you...
Yes, I wanted to just say one really interesting expression that Christopher Hitchens said about Osho, because he was documenting the story of the cult. And he said that basically, Osho, if you just saw what Osho says, it's basically Nokyu's teaching. But he had a weird sign outside the door when people went in, which said, "Shoes and minds are to be left here." And he says it's really bad when people are told to just leave their mind. And I've read some of the books that Osho, that have his speeches, let's say. And he was saying that, you know, logic divides things. You should forget logic. You should transcend logic. And let's go to the world where nothing is divided. Everything is united. Leave logic aside. And I think that's the dangerous thing. When we forget reason and when we start saying that reason is a bad thing, that is neither a cognitive tool nor a sort of element for practical guidance, I think that's when things go badly.
Thank you for watching that clip from my series Contemplations. If you want to sign up to the website for £5 a month, you can access that series, which comes out 1 p.m. every Saturday. Thank you for watching and goodbye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.